The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Amazing Stories from Skid Row, brought to you by Union Rescue Mission, where we don't just change moments in time, but we transform lives. Our host is Union Rescue Mission President and CEO, the Reverend Andy Bales, and a special guest is Renisha. Renisha is one of Union Rescue Mission's Hope Garden Family Center moms, soon to graduate.
Soon to be a graduate. Yes. When are you graduating?
June 24th.
All right. Woo-hoo. June 24th.
That's going to be exciting.
Right.
Can you share with us how you came to the gates of Hope Gardens? And we'd love to hear the whole story as much as you feel comfortable sharing.
Man, okay. Well, I was pregnant. I was about 3 months pregnant. I found out October 7th, and I went downtown on the 10th because my kid's dad had been abusing me, and it was getting to the point where finding out I was pregnant, I wasn't going to be able to, just stay in that situation. I thought that I was supposed to be loyal to him and the family that I wanted to have, and allow my son to have a father, like, no matter what happens to me, if he's good to him, it'll be okay type situation. But I was visiting a lot of different churches because I'm not from the area. I'm from Ventura County. And all of the messages that I was receiving was that I needed to get into the Word. Mm-hmm. I grew up in church, so this was just, like, kind of the theme in that life, in that moment or whatever, and calling on his name, Jesus, right? And he tried to convinced me to move in with somebody, but I wanted to go to the rescue mission because I had been told that we would be able to get housing together as a family. I was tired of being in a car. I had spent all my savings on hotels. I had family that I could have tried to, like, ask for help, but, a lot of times people don't want to help you and the man. He should be able to do something. And I was so wrapped on the unit that I didn't understand that I just needed to focus on my child. And meet him halfway somewhere at some point.
Yeah.
Or just leave him altogether like I should have. But in reality, I tried to convince him to go to downtown with me. And on the drive there, he took me somewhere that basically he was going to, leave me stranded and take my son.
Aww.
This is the first time he ever tried to kidnap him.
Yeah.
And I refused to get out of the car. It was a fight. I'm pregnant. He hit me in the head, my stomach, and I just flagged down this older couple, and they called 911 for me, but he threatened to attack them. So they, parked down the street a little bit, and he was trying to throw my stuff out, but I tried to hop into the car, and all I was able to do was ride the hood of the car because he tried to drive away. And when he realized the police were coming, he didn't want to go to jail. He put my son down in the middle of the street and
wow.
only put out his stuff, and I was like, I need a stroller. I need his stuff. That's your son. Please, it's hot out here.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave it to me, and then he left. And then I just had a, why Jesus moment. And I literally was calling his name on the top of my lungs, hands in the air. Like, I just was able, looking back, I realized how that was a submit, and they say that he hears our cries and stuff like that. It was a complete situation.
Yes,
like that.
Does.
And these families came outside to help me, give me water. They wanted to invite me in, but I felt rude imposing on them. And they used the last of my money to Uber to the closest shelter, and it still ended up being the URM.
Oh.
When I went there, I was afraid because I never in my life wanted to go to a shelter. I never wanted to commit to that. I wanted to, like, you know, I can do this. I can run. I can bounce around. I live in a car. Like, all these, like, you know, negative connotations about getting help. Mm-hmm. It ended up being, like, one of the best things that's ever happened to me. You know,
yes.
The Lord
yes.
will put you backwards in order for you to understand and humble yourself.
Yes.
And realize what he has that's better for you on the other side of things, of the storm and whatnot like that. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you're so well-spoken.
Yes, you are. My God.
I'm tearing up now that I think about it, because I've never really, like, told a story like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we disassociate or we try to block these types of feelings out.
Right.
But here at Hope Gardens, it's taught me to sit in the moment and understand, like, exactly what he wanted you to do. And so, like, they were talking to me about it, and I didn't want to go to Hope Gardens because I heard about tarantulas and rattlesnakes. And then
I've never seen a tarantula out there.
No, I've only heard of the deer and the snakes.
Some of the girls there were scaring me. They're like, I would never go. And then, you know, I went for my interview, and I was like, it's so beautiful. Like, this is luxurious.
Yeah. I don't know why. Like, I don't know why anybody tries to tell, like, scary stories.
Right.
It's literally like a resort.
Yes.
Mountain retreat.
Like, it feels like a resort where you just get to be, you know, able to be with your children and in the Word, you know, back to that little spot out foreshadowing there. There was nowhere in the world that I could be able to afford living, having my own bathroom, 3 meals a day, a shower of my own, and just be able to provide for my son and be with him. There's a daycare while I take my classes, and I'm just literally getting fed and edifying myself all day, every day.
Wow.
It's just beautiful, and it's very lucky. So even when I went through some situations where, like, I felt like I couldn't last here, I'm glad that I just took heed to the Lord's, you know, call and stayed, because the Father was trying to, like, tell me if I didn't leave, I would never see him again and stuff like that.
Mm.
And I just was like, had to be accepted. Okay, I'll take my kids and I'll just not see you again. Like, I finally had accepted that I'd rather be with God than with anybody
Amen.
Else, you know?
Mm. Well, and, you said something really powerful. You said, not only do you want to give the man another chance, right? But you're kind of stuck on that idea of keeping
the unit,
your imagined family together. You know, the idea of family. You don't want to give up on that
the
idea.
The flesh, the worldly image, the connecting thing of, like, you know, this is what's going on behind closed doors, but this is what we look out front. It wasn't necessary.
Yeah, that's better.
I was embarrassed.
That helps me
I was ashamed.
A lot
and that's what
better.
The devil uses. He uses shame and embarrassment, confusion, and all these things to keep you in your flesh.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, the Lord, none of that comes from God. He doesn't want you to feel any of that.
Exactly.
And when I realized, you know, it's just something that I went through. Mm-hmm. It's not who I am, and it doesn't define me. I was able to just, you know, go back to him. Again, I grew up with him, so I knew how to call on him.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't realize that I never was raised by anyone that read the Bible themselves to know how to teach me and steer me in that way. So Hope Gardens is kind of like a foolproof way of teaching you what to do when not only have you saved and got on your own feet and be by yourself with your children, whether it be for sobriety, drugs, homelessness, DV, you know how to also get into the book and cover your children and pray for your children and raise them in the way that they will go.
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes.
So, Renisha, I realize now why I know your name so well. Mm. I didn't know about the first episode on the streets and the Good Samaritans who surrounded you.
Yeah, thank God.
And,
and then how you made it to Union Rescue Mission the first time to start this journey.
Yeah.
But I was aware of your latest miracle. And,
yeah, so he ended up kidnapping my son after all.
Yeah. Why don't you tell that story now that it's over and ends well and it's miraculous. I wouldn't have had you share this story 2 weeks ago but why don't you share that story?
Okay. So basically, I hadn't seen the dad for almost a year. I had invited him for Father's Day, you know, try to do police meets, invite him to church so he could see his son. Arias loved him very much. And he would just make excuses, saying that I was keeping him from him and that he wanted him by himself, which I understand that sometimes with co-parenting, granted, we weren't co-parenting. I was taking care of my son and he was essentially a visitor, right?
Right.
But in these type of situations where the mother has the child and they're afraid of the father just disappearing with them.
Yeah.
They don't trust enough to just let you have them, kid.
Not after that first freeway episode.
Right? And but also men in this world, they expect to be able to just have their kid. Like, why? Like, I haven't done anything. Why? They're completely...
Well, the key to that might be the fact, yes, you haven't done anything, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, hang on to that. We'll pick up right there when we come back.
Yeah, we got to take a break.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
For additional information about Union Rescue Mission's programs and services and how you can help, visit us online at urm.org. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at URM. You're listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row with host the Reverend Andy Bales. We'll be right back with more right after these important messages. You're listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. Homelessness is devastating communities nationwide, but nowhere more than right here in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is now the homeless capital of America, but Union Rescue Mission is trying to change that. Did you know that many homeless families did not choose life on the streets? Many are victims of circumstances that spiraled out of control. But Union Rescue Mission's CEO, Pastor Andy Bales, says, whatever the reason is, really doesn't matter. Each one is in great need of God's love.
We are carrying out the words of Jesus Christ, and we're shining a bright light in a very dark place. I know our precious guests see our love as we receive so much back from them.
Become a hero for hope when you automatically give each month or a one-time gift of $250. You will also receive a special gift, Union Rescue Mission's book, Stories from Skid Row. The Union Rescue Mission, together with you, bringing hope, healing, and transformation to the streets of Los Angeles. Go to urm.org/KKLA.
Now, let's get back to more Amazing Stories from Skid Row with host, the Reverend Andy Bales.
Yes, so, Renisha, the abuse and that episode on the streets was enough for you to distrust, but then what happened next?
So, like I was saying, I hadn't seen him for about a year. He wasn't showing up to anything, whether it be church, Father's Day. Then I just didn't feel the need to reach out to him again, and I was further along in my pregnancy. I just couldn't be in contact with him because it was too stressful. He was trying to accuse me of keeping my son from him, and I just felt like if he wasn't willing to meet up at the park or go with the police and understand why I didn't trust him to have him one-on-one, because we didn't have custody paperwork and I didn't have an address to serve him, then it just wasn't going to work out. And by chance, I don't know what's going on, right? But we went to, in September, on the 3rd, we went to Venice Beach for like a Christian concert type thing.
Yeah, and, famous every year.
We were enjoying it. Yeah. And I went to the intercession tent, and I prayed to God, you know, for a way to get custody and a way to allow, you know, him to be in his life. If that's what he saw fit, I just didn't know what to do. And not even 30 minutes later, we ran into him on the walk or whatever, and he had a dog, and it was crazy. And I tried to not react in a way that was going to be negative because I was terrified of what he would do, but we were around a lot of people. And he immediately went down to talk to Arias, and he didn't really remember him too much. And he had a dog, though, so that's also why he was, you know, wanting to hang out for a moment, the baby, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And he looked around, and a crowd of guys walked around us, and he could just see that the energy wasn't what it was at first when he said hello. He was questioning me, trying to see what was going on, where I was at, why I was in public. And I was like, I'm still in the program. I'm here at a Christian concert. We have 15 minutes. I'm going home. He's like, you know, let me take you or whatever. And I was like, I can't do that. And I was like, but I can ask, you know. And I was like, we have 15 minutes to leave. The bus is going to leave us if we don't go by 4, and I have to go. So while he was talking to Arias, I whispered to my friend, like, you know, something bad could be happening right now. Can you go ahead of me and let, you know, Miss Claudia know? And so she did that. But she took it serious that I was really asking to go with him. So, like, when I was going across the street, I made it back. Mind you, he was slowing his voice. He was asking to buy him ice cream. He was trying to do everything in the world to make me miss the 4 o'clock time. And we were finally crossing the street. he basically just took them because I was flagging Miss Claudia down. I took my iPhone for just one second, and I didn't realize how close his car had been parked in like this public parking space, and we were parked on the main street. And I didn't even know what type of car he drove. That's why that was able to happen as well. Because I always look back at the situation like, well, like, what did I do? Like, how did that happen?
You didn't
like, what kind
do,
of mother am I? It was just terrible.
You
like,
didn't
it was
cause this at all.
Feeling.
Yeah, you didn't cause this. This was intentional.
Yeah. He shoved him into the car through the driver's side, and I was calling areas. He tried to come to me, but he just forced him in. The driver put him in the front seat, no seat belt, and just tried to, like, pull off. But I ran over there, and I still had my stroller, so I couldn't get to him as fast as I would have liked, right? Because I would have just jumped on the hood again, but this time the baby's out of my belly. And so he tried to back up. Miss Claudia blocked him in from the back. I was on the side so he couldn't turn out of the place, and somebody was in front, but he looked like he was going to hit them, so they jumped out of the way, and he went right back through his parking space, over the curb, into the traffic, and just drove away.
Wow.
And I was on the phone with him. He was pretending to say he was bringing him back. He was begging me not to call the police. I said, I already called the police. And he's like, see?
Good job,
you're
calling.
A bitch, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, that's not the situation. This is my child, you know? Trying to, like, barter with me. He said he'd bring him back in an hour at Hope Gardens. And I said, I asked for permission for him to drop him off, anything to just let him come back, you know? And then finally when I was at, it was like 7 o'clock, I was in the front waiting. And he was like, you stupid B-word. You really think I was going to bring my son back? And I was just trying to dig into me and run it in my face and stuff like that.
Mm.
It was just bad.
Yeah.
And he tried to demand that I leave at the end of the week. Like, after that first day, the next day, he's like, you know, you have 1 week to come back. I've won the prize. Why not reach for the rest of my family if that kid is really mine? Because he was still trying to pretend like the new baby wasn't his. His name is Josiah.
Right.
Wow.
And
you were so strong here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sticking it out and
I pretended. Honestly, though, here's the thing. Chaplain Anna advised me not to go, but I felt like I was supposed to do what I was supposed to do, which was to go get my son. So I met up with him 2 days later because he claimed he was bringing Arias. He didn't. And I acted in my flesh in that situation. Had I just not, you know, gone at all, he wouldn't have felt like he had the right or leeway to do what he did. You get me? And it just lasted longer. Had I just stayed away completely,
he probably
would have had a lot more fear around him.
Yeah, you need to quit blaming yourself.
You
did everything that a mom would
exactly
try to do.
To retrieve their child.
Yeah,
yeah.
You had every right. So how long did he virtually kidnap your child? How long was he gone?
8 months.
Eight months.
I got him back on the 21st of this month.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, last month.
Wow. So he
and I mean, they called me the day before they found him. The father got arrested. He wouldn't give up the location. The accomplice female was arrested a week later, wouldn't give up the location, and a week later, they found him. He was out in Mexico by himself, on his own.
Oh my God.
By a family, I guess, that they had babysitting him off and on.
Wow.
And the Mexican police and the U.S. police worked together, right? Right.
I didn't have to wait for the FBI because the girl at one point crossed the border to coming back and reported him for sex traffic. So it expedited everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can only imagine what he started to do out there. It was, and I'll never get to know what my son saw. I'm getting him in therapy, and I'm, you know, thankful for the resources that are here, and
but
I don't know what I would do.
He's 3 years old, right?
Yeah, he just turned 3 April 9th.
Yeah, we can pray for God's protection and resilience. But
yes.
When we come back, I want you to tell us the day that
reunited.
Because I got to see this video. But when we come back, I want you to describe what you saw and what you felt.
Yeah. We'll be right back with more right after these important messages.
Thank you for listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. You may have heard a story that touched you deeply or even broke your heart. The truth is, most of us will never know what it's like to be on the streets, sleeping on a sidewalk, wondering where the next meal is coming from, freezing in the winter and unbearably hot in the summer, without hope. The caring staff at Union Rescue Mission does. We know that as the compassion of Christ shines through us, lives are changed and hope is restored. That's why we are dedicated to the thousands of men, women, and children experiencing homelessness in downtown LA. We'd like to invite you to help us complete the circle of acceptance, redemption, and transformation. As little as $22 a month feeds a family of four a hot, nutritious meal. And when you mention KKLA with your monthly or one-time donation of $250, you'll receive our very special gift, Union Rescue Mission's book, Stories from Skid Row. Thanks for listening. To give, go to urm.org/KKLA. That's urm.org/KKLA.
Now, let's get back to more amazing stories from Skid Row.
So, everybody, this is just one story of what our moms often suffer before they come, either abandoned or abused, to Hope Gardens. And, Renisha, you got your little guy back, but tell us the moment it happened.
Well, I was actually really afraid that he wasn't going to want to see me because of, you know, his father trying to train him against me. But the officer asked, "Do you remember who that is?" And he said, "Yeah." I shook his head. I just got down on his level and I held my arms out and he ran to me with open arms and I was just in shock.
Aww.
I talked to him some more, but I was filled with tears and I was amazed at how much he had grown. I was amazed at his hair. I didn't like his hair.
He needed a haircut, huh?
I was like, oh my goodness. But
wow.
I just saw him, I sized him up, and I just was so thankful, and I just, you know, praised and worshipped, and I just, you know.
Mm. Wow.
I carried him. I made sure he knew that Mommy had him, and that we would never be apart.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, it's Mother's Day this week.
It is.
What a great story.
I got him just in time. Like, can you believe it?
My favorite.
And for graduation as well. I was supposed to graduate in February, but I was sad without him. And I was like, maybe I can hold off till June.
Yeah.
Wow.
Back? And God really allowed me to have that.
That's going
to
be a glorious graduation.
It is.
With your son back.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're all rejoicing. My favorite, the favorite thing we do at Hope Gardens is restore moms with kids and kids with moms. I'm a mama's boy.
I see that so much here. I grew up with my mom on drugs, so I never experienced her going through a program and trying to get me back. I'm one of 11. I'm the last born.
Wow.
So it was just amazing here to experience. It's triggering at first, but to also understand that other women do get on, you know, bad habits, and they do fight for their kids, and they do succeed, wasn't great to see that side. So that's one thing I do commend Hope Gardens for. They are extremely supportive.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. That's what we do. That's what we do. We're here.
That was one of the most remarkable reunifications we've ever experienced, and I'm so sorry that you suffered those 8 months.
Mm.
I can't imagine how you felt.
No.
For 8 months, but I'm so thankful you hung in there and stayed tough and didn't give in. Who knows where you'd be today if you would have given in and gone with him.
Yeah.
Thank you. No. Dead. I probably would have been killed.
So
Jesus.
Now we get to look forward to graduation day.
Yes.
And
future.
And so how many kids do you have? You have this little guy
two.
And Josiah?
Two.
Josiah will be one next month on June 7th. So
all right.
We'll get them acclimated and remember they're brothers, but it'll be okay.
I want to get a hug from both. And,
me too.
I'm going to reach out to you and see if you'd write a letter so I can share when I preach to Bel Air Church on July 9th about Jesus' love for little kids. He surely came through this time, didn't he?
I didn't have 8 months is a long time for me, but in these types of situations, it could have been so much more. So all I can do is just thank him in my suffering, thank him in my happiness. Like,
amen. We're out of time, but thanks so much.
Yes. Thank
God
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Renisha. Oh, my goodness. On behalf of Union Rescue Mission, I'm Kitty Davis Walker, the VP of Public Relations. Thank you for joining us. Tune in Monday through Friday at 9:30 p.m. and Saturday at 5:30 p.m. for more amazing stories from Skid Row. Don't forget to visit us online this week at urm.org. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at URM. May God bless you and keep you.
You've been listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. If your heart is breaking as you hear a story that hits a little too close for comfort, then donate to Union Rescue Mission and help CEO Pastor Andy Bales help the men, women, and children of Union Rescue Mission find their way back home.
I'm compelled to do this as I try to practice what I preached over 30 years ago from Matthew chapter 25. I preach that the way you treat another hurting human being is the way you are treating Jesus himself.
Since 1891, the Union Rescue Mission has embraced men, women, and children experiencing homelessness with the compassion of Christ. Many are victims of circumstances by no fault of their own. It's people like these and others that Union Rescue Mission is offering hope, healing, and a way out of their tragic situation. But we can't do it without your generous donation. So please, help the Union Rescue Mission provide food, clothing, shelter, and other life-changing services for those desperately in need. And visit urm.org/KKLA to donate now.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.